You're listening to Sciencing the Shit Out of MS, part of the Classroom Psychology Network. And now, here's your host, Dr. Cora Sargent. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sciencing the Shit Out of MS. I'm your host, Cora. Thank you so very much for joining me. Oh, my goodness, it's good to see you. Grab up a chair, you know, sit down. Put your feet up, grab a coffee, and let's sow some seeds in the garden of our mental health. And together, we can just sit there and watch them grow. We've got a few that we've already covered. When we last left our heroes, we talked about acceptance activation, which is the idea that we're going to hold, like we're going to accept with loving kindness all the things that we're experiencing right now without judgment. Just going to accept them, embrace them fully. Activation, the notion that we're going to do the things that make us happy, even if they also make us anxious, maybe specifically if they do make us anxious. Then cognitive reappraisal, the notion that we're going to interpret MS and the things that it puts in our way as challenges to overcome rather than as threats. Then we're going to keep the best possible self-intervention, that intervention from positive psychology, in the back pocket for when I'm experiencing a relapse. I'll pull it out, and when I'm feeling really pessimistic about the future, I'm going to use that to protect my optimism in the face of challenge. And then finally, mindfulness. Mindfulness, two weeks ago, we talked about mindfulness. And mindfulness is, I mean, amazingly well evidenced as an intervention. And there's kind of two flavors of mindfulness that I think I'm drawing on. One of them is mindfulness-based stress reduction as an intervention delivered by somebody, and I'm looking actively into finding somebody to do that. There's some good charities online. MS UK is a great one, but there's tons out there. The MS Trust comes to mind immediately, and I think some of these charities are doing mindfulness-based stress reduction for people with MS, so I'm going to see if I can get myself into one of those group interventions at some point soon. If I manage it, I'll let you know how it goes. And then the sort of self-help mindfulness. So I'm doing it twice a day. I'm trying to find videos of Kabat-Zinn, but I'm also finding, like, after I got a good sense of what Kabat-Zinn was doing, which is largely just kind of like self-monitoring and being mindful of the breath a lot of the time. And then when getting distracted, like returning to the breath. Once I got the idea of that principle, I started to look for other YouTubers doing something similar. And Yoga with Adrienne, I gotta say, is really awesome. I really like it. She does some good mindfulness stuff that I follow in the morning. And then last thing at night, I follow some good mindfulness exercises that are kind of designed for sleep. Again, I'm not sure how good they are because I don't know about mindfulness well enough to know which YouTubers to follow and which to not. But most recently, I found one that I've just been following and accidentally falling asleep to. I don't know if that's really what you're supposed to do with mindfulness. It's kind of a practice of a skill, but I've been doing it last thing at night in bed just before I go to sleep. And it has been last few nights, I've been falling asleep really easily just by listening to mindfulness and practicing while I'm doing it. I'm going to say that I think the last night I was listening to it and then I got blasted awake by YouTube's autoplay, just playing some random YouTuber just screaming in my ear about like and subscribe. And I just blasted awake. But I had fallen asleep by the time the mindfulness had finished. So yeah, I'll take all of that as a win, I think. All that is great stuff. So yeah, for sure. Mindfulness, I can fully recommend. Today, though, we're going to talk about something else that I have come across in the literature. I wanted to do an episode on it because I think it sounds really cool and I want to give it a go. It's called Little Acts of Kindness. Now, Coe and colleagues in 2021 define acts of kindness as intentional acts undertaken to benefit other people, regardless of the underlying motive. So kindness is basically anything that we do that is designed deliberately to benefit other people. That's a gorgeous, very broad, very simple definition. That means that we could very easily do something like that, right? It wouldn't be difficult. And actually, it should, you know, there's a few pieces of research. Coe and colleagues, Roland and Curry and colleagues in 2018, Curry did a systematic review on the effects of performing acts of kindness on the well-being of the actor in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, a pretty beefy journal. And between them, they find that, I mean, Coe and colleagues find that just in 3 days, there were decreases in like negative affect, so negative emotional experiences, increases in positive affect, and increases in life satisfaction in just 3 days of performing kindness. And in just 7 days, there are increases in happiness in Roland and Curry's work. And what I think is really interesting is that Curry's systematic review highlights that these effects are small to moderate, but generally consistent across a range of different studies. So it seems that acts of kindness are basically awesome. And Mongrain looked at the acts of kindness and the longitudinal effects. And they just asked people to do acts of kindness for 3 weeks, and then they followed them up 1 and 2 months later and found that like impacts on mood were improved, like depressive symptoms in their work. They found that the impact on depressive symptoms was still significant at long-term follow-up. So these effects on mood, on well-being, seem to be like persistent, which is important, right? We've already talked about how much of a nightmare some interventions are because they just don't last very long. And then you've got hedonistic adaptation, which means that while they were good in the beginning, even if you repeat them, they may not be as good in the long term as you might hope. But this one looks like it does have long-term effects in and of itself, which is really good. That's awesome. And it's particularly good, it seems here, for people low on agreeableness. So people who don't, generally speaking, focus on other people, on thinking about and considering being compassionate towards and empathizing with other people, kindness interventions are really particularly good for those folks, which I think is relevant and really interesting. Honestly, I could do better at like maintaining my relationships generally. So I mean, maybe acts of kindness are one good way to do that. Who knows? But seemingly for those who don't spend enough time thinking about other people, acts of kindness are a good way to start. So for sure, I'm all for drawing this into my daily routine. I love it. I think it's a great idea. Now, what I think is really interesting here is that it doesn't just impact us. So the impact on us as the people doing the acts of kindness, the impact on us seems to be a little bit contingent on our motivations. Curry in 2018, in their meta-analysis, found that if the intent was to benefit ourselves, then it's not really a genuine act of kindness. It's not really an altruistic act. It's more a selfish act, even though it benefits somebody else. And consequently, because it's not really a kind act, it doesn't actually benefit us in quite the same way that we would hope. So if we're genuinely doing something kind to genuinely benefit someone else, then the benefit on us will be greater. Now, I'm going to go cross-eyed here because obviously this whole podcast is about kind of sowing the seeds of our mental health, trying to improve our mental well-being and trying to thrive in the context of MS. We want to do these things because they're good for us. But here we have a sort of paradoxical effect where if we do it because it's good for us, then it will be less good for us. So the intention must be to do it for other people and then benefit better because of that. But we can't do it because of the benefits to us. Yeah, for sure. There's a bit of cross-eyedness going on here. We'll keep that in the back of our minds because I think there's some interesting stuff about the act of kindness and its impact on recipients and bystanders. So there's this cool study, Kumar and Epley, this year, or last year now, 2023, it was 2022, A Little Good Goes an Unexpectedly Long Way. Now this is a difficult study to actually get your hand on. Journal of Experimental Psychology, huge journal, very difficult to get access to if you don't have a subscription. I read the extended abstract though, and I've got to say, it's a killer study. I'm going to get this study on interlibrary loan, I think, because it's so cool. They did a bunch of very clever experiments to manipulate kindness. So in their first experiment, they grabbed 106 students and they asked them to perform a bunch of different kind acts, purchasing coffee, buying flowers, delivering baked goods to other people. And they compared the expectations of the person delivering the kindness to the recipient's experience on the other end of that kindness, right? And so they found, this is what's super interesting, they found that the people doing the acts of kindness significantly, is a very strong effect, as far as I can see, significantly underestimated how big, how important, how sort of, how impactful the act was going to be considered to be by the other person, right? They underestimated the importance of their kindness and the impact on the other person. The recipient, you know, they considered it to be much more important than the person delivering the kindness, which is actually super cool, right? So not only is it a good thing for people to receive, but actually, no matter if we think it's going to be a good thing, it's probably even going to be better than we think it is for the person we're delivering the kindness to. They did a bunch of other studies too. They followed it up with like, they went to members of the public in a park, and they essentially asked 84 of them to give hot chocolate to another person near an ice skating rink nearby. And they, again, like pondered with them what the impact of that kindness was going to be on the other person in their mind before they did it. And then when they did it, then they asked the person who received the hot chocolate, you know, what was their experience. And they found that, again, just everybody significantly underestimates how positive it's going to make the recipient of the kindness feel, which is wild. So when you standardize the act of kindness, so it's giving hot chocolate, it's still people still underestimate how important it's going to be to the person that receives it and how positive the emotional impact is going to be, which I think is wonderful. That's so cool. It's such a cool series of studies. Again, they did another one with participants giving a cupcake to 49 strangers in a park. God, I need to do research. Like, this is so much fun. Can you imagine just going to a park and being like, excuse me, we're just running some research. I'm going to give you this cupcake. I need to find somebody to give it to as an act of kindness. That's so cool. They just went and did it. Yeah, for sure. And again, just everybody underestimating how positive the experience was going to be for the recipient. Now, what's super interesting is that they, in this final experiment, right, this one with the cupcakes, they asked 50 other participants, right? They asked 50 participants, give this cupcake to a stranger as an act of kindness. Go, you go, have fun. And then in 50 other cases, the experimenter went and gave the cupcake to a stranger themselves and were like, this is for an experiment. Here's a cupcake. Like, it's just part of the experiment. So it wasn't an act of kindness. It was rather just an part of the experimental design to the person receiving it. And they find that the warmth, the kindness, is the important factor here. It isn't the cupcake. It, you know, there's an argument to be said that, you know, just having a cupcake when you didn't have one moments ago is going to like improve your mood and make you feel better about the world. And for sure, cupcakes are great. I love cupcakes, but they find that it is not, it doesn't have the same effect if you are just kind of having a cupcake when you didn't before, right? If you bought one for yourself, it doesn't have the same effect as the warmth conveyed by the intention that the act signifies, right? So the giving of the cupcake communicates interpersonal warmth, and that warmth is what warms people, obviously, emotionally. So little acts of kindness don't just warm us as individuals giving the cupcake to somebody, but it warms the person receiving it. If we're talking cupcakes, we're talking like, you know, we're talking bunches of flowers, we're talking about a baked good, you know, we're not talking about like breaking the bank financially. Little acts of kindness. Super cool to me. I really love this idea. Now, one more study I want to kind of really focus on heavily is Chancellor's in 2014, Ripples of Generosity in the Workplace, The Benefits of Giving, Getting, and Glimpsing. This is a dissertation. I don't think they got this published, which is a real shame to me because it's a gorgeous idea. It's a gorgeous study. And they look at it in the workplace, how acts of kindness impact not only the person delivering the kindness, not only the person receiving the kindness, but people around witnessing the kindness take place. They found that it benefits them too just by vicariously experiencing it, just by witnessing it. Like, can you imagine how powerful this effect could be? Just by doing an act of kindness, not only is it good for us, but it's good for the person receiving it and everyone around watching. Oh my goodness, what a cool idea this is. Like, and here's what's the real kicker, right? Chancellor found that not only does this impact all of these people, but they found for the first time evidence of a spontaneous ripple effect. The person receiving the kindness in the study had a greater chance of spontaneously engaging in their own acts of kindness. How awesome is that? So a simple act of kindness, we're talking about a cupcake here, like a simple act of kindness impacts you as a person delivering it, impacts the person receiving it, impacts everyone around, and may even ripple out into further acts of kindness in the world. This is, to my mind, bananas. Has such a potential for like good in the world as a thing that we can do. And if we focus on the good in the world and on the other person, rather than focusing on the impact on ourselves, it will have a stronger impact on us too. So this is awesome. This is great stuff. So you might be thinking, as potentially I was, how much kindness is enough? How much kindness do I need to do? And what kinds of kindness are there in the world? So, I mean, it looks like in shillingtons, essentially most of these pieces of research, it looks like about 3 per day is about right for acts of kindness. 3 per day. And Shillington and colleagues in 2021, they for sure invited participants to do 3 acts of kindness per day for a month. And these were the sort of acts of kindness that the people ended up doing. I think they gave participants kind of free rein and then said, well, what kind of acts of kindness did you do? And they said they came back with the most common was greeting or smiling at someone, which is, you know, as an act of kindness go, that's pretty weak. That's pretty weak source. Holding doors open for people is the next most common. Then academic support to students because they were students who did the work. Assisting with cleaning or household tasks, giving money to other people, complimenting or acknowledging people, offering general assistance, calling somebody or sending them a text, offering emotional support, cooking or baking for other people, offering someone a ride, spending time with loved ones, data appreciation for someone, like saying thank you to someone, giving someone the gift of time, sharing something with someone, encouraging someone's self-care, donating. So those are the kind of things they were doing. I really like the cupcake idea personally. I'm going to start a cupcake business where I just give cupcakes to people and all I get back is like emotional well-being. I'll still take it. I've never made a cupcake in my life. Maybe I need to start baking for this intervention. And Bin Fei and Whitehead in 2019, they did a randomized controlled trial finding again, you know, kindness has a good impact on adolescents' well-being. But these were the kind of things they asked them to do. So they had helping people either physically, emotionally, or like instructionally. So helping to teach somebody something or helping with chores. Then the second was giving. So giving money or objects or time or being friendly or being respectful. And then they had sort of a mix of other things like taking initiative, doing something to someone without being asked to, offering to help people, giving compliments, that kind of thing. It's extremely broad, isn't it? There's so many different potential avenues for kindness here. What they did find, though, is that the more people do and the more active people's participation in the kindness, the better off the effect. So just got to kind of, we've got to do it. One thing that is helpful is that the impact on us, it goes on into the future, not least because we can ruminate positively on the effect. So Koh and colleagues in 2021 found that just recalling the acts of kindness that you did can also have a positive effect. So, not only can the act of kindness itself have a positive impact, but just recalling it can be really good for you. So I'm going to go do this. I am literally going to go do this right now. I'm going to go to Aldi. I think I have to give this an experimental swing, right? We're going to give this a big swing. It's Christmas time. I'm going to head to Aldi down the road. I'm going to exercise my way there. And I'm going to go and find somebody at the checkouts. And then I'm going to pay for their shopping. I just want to do this one. I want to see if this is going to have the kind of impact that it seems to. And I'll let you know how it goes. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Okay. That was way more awkward and way better than I was expecting. Like, I knew, I think it was as awkward as I was expecting. The lady at the checkout who was paying for her shopping, she was on her own. And I just was like one of the first people I saw, I just was like, excuse me, would you mind if I paid for your shopping? She had no idea what I was doing or talking about. She was so taken aback. It was so weird. I realized very quickly that I was transgressing every social norm around me very quickly. It was extremely awkward for a heartbeat. And my heart was racing when I did it as well. But I did it and I paid for her shopping. And this weird moment happened where she was like, I only have £50 in my bank account. And I was like, wow, you know, like it was meant to be, you know. Oh, it's crazy. It was wild. It was a wild experience. And then after I did it, neither of us knew what to say. So we just kind of hugged. And I can see, I get it. I get it. Like, I feel more connected to the world. I feel it's not a sort of narcissistic kind of feeling good. I don't feel good about myself as if I'm some kind of as if I'm a good person. It's not that kind of goodness. It's more like, I don't know. It's like a faith in humanity thing. I don't know. At the time, I felt like really, really invigorated. I left the place feeling just overjoyed. I felt so happy walking home. And now looking back at it, I have a smile on my face. It was one of those little moments that are just so gorgeous. It's such a, I don't know. I'm going to do this more. I don't know about you. I am absolutely going to do this more. I'm going to go and do some kindness in the world. I'm going to find more different things that I can do. And I'm going to try and put them into the world. I don't know what. I'm going to learn how to make cupcakes. I mean, what else can I do? It's time to learn how to make cupcakes, y'all. And then go and give cupcakes to every single person. I tell you what the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the GP surgery and deliver a load of cupcakes there. That's what I'm going to do. You know what? That's the next thing. I'm going to go to the bakery because I do not know how to make cupcakes and I do not want to accidentally poison people. So I'm going to go to a bakery. I'm going to buy a pack of muffins or something. I'm going to take it down to the GP surgery because those guys are heroes and they are underappreciated and for sure they need all the love that they can get right now. That's the next thing I'm going to do. I'm going to go and give them some baked goods. Gosh, you guys, this could be a big one, I think. I feel so much better. I need to do more of this stuff. Give me some of this. I feel like I've got a kindness addiction suddenly. So somebody give me some more kindness. I need to get that buzz back. It was so good. For sure, though, like, this can only be a good thing, right? Like, if it ripples positively out into the world at all, then I'll take it. For sure, I will take it. This is something I really want to do. All right, we're going to do it. We're going to go out into the world. We're going to put kindness out into it. And that's going to be the next seed to sow in the garden of my mental health. For sure, I can't afford to buy 3 different sets of people cupcakes every day, but maybe most of my acts of kindness can be much less significant. In fact, I think what I'm going to do is start reading books to my nephew on YouTube. That's the other way. Oh my goodness, I'm going to do all kinds of things. Kind things, putting into the world, benefiting us, benefiting the people that we give them to, benefiting anybody around. And maybe, just maybe we can ripple it out further into the world. How cool would that be? Right. Next up, next week, or in 2 weeks' time, in our next episode, it's a fortnightly podcast. Why can't I keep that in my head? We're going to talk about gratitude because gratitude has got a strong series of studies focusing on the benefits of gratitude, keeping gratitude diaries, or sending letters of gratitude to people. So for sure, that could be the next thing that we focus on. Gratitude, another seed to sow in the garden of our mental health. And together, we can sit back and watch them grow. Thanks so very, very much for joining me. This has been Sciencing the Shit Out of MS. We solve one problem, we solve the next, we solve enough problems, we get to thrive in the context of multiple sclerosis. Look forward to seeing you in the next one.